Translation: Neither of the above forms of the Lord, as just described unto you from the material angle of vision, is accepted by the pure devotees of the Lord who know Him well. So now goes the purport. The impersonalists think of the absolute personality of Godhead in two different ways as above mentioned. On the one hand, they worship the Lord in His Vishwarupa, or the all-pervading universal form. And on the other, they think of the Lord's unmanifested, indescribable, subtle form. The theory of pantheism and monism are respectively applicable to these two conceptions of the Supreme, as gross and subtle. But both of them are rejected by the learned pure devotees of the Lord because they are aware of the factual position. This is very clearly mentioned in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which records Arjuna's experience of the Vishwarupa of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Adishta purvam rishito amidrishtva bhayena cha pravyathitam manome tadeva me darshya deva rupam prasida devesh jagannivasa. Bhagavad Gita 11:45. Arjuna, as a pure devotee of the Lord, never previously saw the contemplated universal form of the Lord, Vishwarupa. But when he did see it, his curiosities were satisfied. But he was not happy to see such a form of the Lord because of his attachment as a pure devotee. He was afraid to see the gigantic form of the Lord. He therefore prayed to the Lord to assume his four-handed Narayan or Krishna form, which alone could please Arjuna. Undoubtedly, the Lord has the supreme potency to exhibit Himself in multifarious forms. But the pure devotees of the Lord are interested in His forms as eternally exhibited in the abode of the Lord known as Tripadibhuti, or the Kingdom of God. The Lord in the Tripadibhuti abode exhibits Himself in two forms, either with four hands, or with two hands. The Vishwarupa exhibited in the material manifestation has unlimited hands and unlimited dimensions, with everything unlimited. The pure devotees of the Lord worship Him in His Vaikuntha forms as Narayan or Krishna. Sometimes the same Vaikuntha form of the Lord are in the material world also by His grace as Sri Ram, Sri Krishna, Sri Narasingdev, etc. And thus the pure devotees also worship them. Usually the features shown in the material world have no existence in the Vaikuntha planets, and thus they are not accepted by the pure devotees. What the pure devotees worship from the very beginning are the eternal forms of the Lord existing in the Vaikuntha planets. The non-devotee impersonalists imagine the material forms of the Lord, and ultimately they merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, whereas the pure devotees of the Lord are worshippers of the Lord both in the beginning and also in the perfect stage of salvation. Eternally, the worship of the pure devotee never stops, whereas the worship of the impersonalist stops after his attainment of salvation, when he merges in the impersonal form of the Lord known as Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, the pure devotees of the Lord are described here as Vipaschita, or the learned who are in the knowledge of the Lord perfectly. So, their answer is purport. Om Agyanam Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapad Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagan Lalita Shiv Vishakan Vitanscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deena Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastam Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Briksha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। हरे कृष्णा। सो बिफोर बिगिनिंग द डिस्कशन सीकिंग द ब्लेसिंग ऑफ द असेंबल्ड वैष्णवास एंड दोज ऑन ऑनलाइन सो दैट द मीनिंगफुल वर्ड्स फॉर द ग्लोरिफिकेशन ऑफ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड मे कम आउट ऑफ माई माउथ एंड हार्ट सो लाइक दैट। But this is the verse, like 35 number verse, and this basically ends the description of the Vishwarupa, which was being described by the Shukdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And the translation goes like, neither of the above forms of the Lord, as just described unto you, from the material angle of vision, is accepted by the pure devotees of the Lord who know Him well. So basically, till 33 number verse, it was more of the gross forms was more of the how it Vishwarup in the form Virat Rup in the gross form is basically as the elements of the universe was being described. So Prabhupada relates it in the purport to the pantheism, and then in the 34 number verse it's described. Therefore, beyond this gross manifestation is other manifestation which is avyaktam nirvisheshanam. So Prabhupada relates in the purport this to the monism. So pantheism and monism, Prabhupada states in the purport, the theories of pantheism and monism are respectively applicable to these two conceptions of the supreme as gross and subtle. So but both of them are rejected by the learned pure devotees of the Lord because they are aware of the factual position. The first question comes, what is the pantheism and monism? Any ideas? Basically, this pantheism and monism is also discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. And in some of the technical part of the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes we don't go into the deep, especially I never went into the deep. I always tried to put these topics aside because Prabhupada gets into the deeper and deeper into the pantheism, monism, and then he anthropomorphisms like that, and then he basically tries to establish the Siddhanta of the pure devotional service or devotional service. So while I was searching in the different places in the Vanipedia or in the Vedabhyas, pantheism, regarding pantheism and monism, so in short, pantheism in Hindi is also known as different dev puja, or seeing the universe, seeing the God, identifying the doctrine which identifies the God with the universe, or regards this universe as a manifestation of God. So if we see in the previous verses, so it's being described that how the universal egg is, how that universal egg is being covered. That's why all this, the external feature of the personality of Godhead is covered by the gross forms, such as those of planets, which was explained to you by me. So basically, in the terms of the universe, and the God is being identified. And then we see the different portraits also of the how the Virat Rupa is being the lower part of the Virat Rupa manifests. Let's say lower planets, Talatal, Vital, Talatal, and Patal, and like that. Then the middle part is sometimes being seen as the Earth and other planets, and the upper part is being seen like the upper planetary, like Swarga. Swarga and Maharlok, Janlok, like that. So this is in one sense a pantheism, and monism is being defined as that only one supreme being exists. In one sense, basically it's a monism. There's no duality, there's no dualism in that. There's only one thing, one tattva, and in that way, to such an extent, of course, Oxford Dictionary defines it like that. There is no difference between the mind and us, mind and the person, and there is no difference between the jiva and the soul and the super soul. So there is only one. That is, in simple words, monism. So, but Prabhupada especially emphasizes in this purport that these two conceptions of the Supreme Lord are more or less like material, and they both of them are rejected by the learned pure devotees of the Lord. And pure devotees are also mentioned as the vipassita. Vipassita means, like Prabhupada also explained in the last, that for the pure devotees are described as vipassita, or the learned who are in the knowledge of the Lord perfectly. So therefore they reject both of this conception. And this is being, how they reject is also very graphically, very, very beautifully explained in the verse of by Prabodhananda Saraswati, who says that Kevalyam Narkayate. He describes that one who has got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for him, Kevalyam Narkayate. I mean, this Kevalya, the idea of merging into the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme, of the Lord, impersonal effulgence, it seems like a Narkayate. This Kevalya Mukti. This Kevalya Mukti is being very poetic way, being given by the examples, different examples, that okay, water is going, and it will merge into the river. But similarly, we will merge into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. From where we came, we will go. Then another poetic way of explaining it is, sometimes it comes as like a, there's the air outside the pot and air inside the pot. Ghatakash, Mahakash. And then the pot breaks and the air merges into the air. So in that way, like this, it's being described in a glorified amongst the less intelligent, this merging concept. But for one who has got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for him, this idea of Kevalyam or merging into the, is like, basically like, it's like a hell. And Prabhupada also sometimes say that basically impersonalists are lazy, because they don't want to worship the Supreme Lord. Because for worshipping the Supreme Lord, so much energy is being spent. I mean, those who actually do some deity worship or do some other service of the Lord, there's so much energy is being spent in preparing the bhoga, in doing so much work, and doing so many mantras are being chanted, and in that way. But the impersonalists basically are lazy. They don't want to worship the Lord. And it's sometimes also being said like that, it's like the conception is like that a child is born out of the womb of the mother. A child is out of the womb of the mother. And he says, "Mother, this world is very miserable. Kindly take me back into your womb." So it's like annihilating the existence. It's like annihilating the individuality. So a devotee never wants to annihilate his individuality. So therefore for him this idea is like hell. So therefore Kevalyam Narkayate. And for a devotee, even going to the heavenly planets is like the will-o'-the-wisp, or like, is like a phantasmagoria. For a devotee who is like following the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, the senses are controlled naturally, because the senses are engaged in the service of the most beautiful, most famous personality of Godhead, Krishna. So naturally the senses are naturally pacified, because they are engaged in they are given the superior engagement. So in that way, like for the devotee, this, he rejects these concepts. And again, Kapil Dev in the third canto explains that even if I give, diye manam na ghrinanti, like even if I give liberation to my devotees, they don't accept it. They don't accept, what to speak of this Kevalyam, or like they don't even accept the other muktis, like Sharshti, Samipya, and like that. There are five forms of liberation. They don't accept even other forms of liberation. Because devotee wants to eternally serve the Supreme Lord, and therefore he just maintains his individuality. And the Prabhupada gives the testimony of a pure devotee in the purport to validate this point. And that testimony is of Arjun. So in the Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter, like after Arjun requested Krishna to show his universal form, that, "O Krishna, please show me the form through which you enter into the universe." That's the exact request which comes. Krishna was there standing in front of Arjun in his two-handed form, but Arjun said particularly that I want to see that form through which you enter into this universe and how you maintain this. And then Krishna said, okay, I will show you, but for you that you will need special eyes, special vision. And then Krishna gave the special vision to Arjun. So, interesting point to note here is that those who have more gross intelligence, for them to accept this fact that the absolute supreme personality of Godhead can have a two-handed form like us is very difficult to digest. So sometimes the less intelligent people, they sometimes see this in a way like how that, okay, since the special vision was being given to the Arjun, so this universal form would be greater than the Krishna's actual transcendental form, because for Arjun was seeing him like that. So therefore it's like interesting that sometimes it's difficult to appreciate the transcendental form of the Lord. But anyways, when Arjun requested Krishna to show that form, then Krishna gave him the special eyes, and that form was being shown to the Arjun by Krishna. And then he spoke this verse that like adishtam purvam rishito asmi drishtva bhayena cha praavitam manome tadeva me darshaya devarupam prasid devesh jagannivasa. So he was seeing so many unlimited hands, unlimited faces of like universal form, and practically everybody entering into the mouth of that form, and like it's like that form was basically annihilating everywhere were hands of that form. And so Arjun was a bit fearful, and he was like into the awe and reverence mood that Krishna and then he said finally that Krishna, show me that 400 form. I want to see it back again, because this is too much for me to hold. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was like in the Hindu-Muslim riot time in the India, so Prabhupada, when he was saying that there was bombs going on here and there, and so Prabhupada said that this war, Prabhupada compared the wars, which was like the Ukraine, Russia war, or any war which happens, to the universal form of the Lord. He said that this devastation is also like, in a way, like Krishna, but Krishna is in the form of the universal form. So it's not very much palatable for a devotee. And even Krishna himself says that let this horrible form be now withdrawn and may you see the beautiful transcendental 400 form. So for devotees, like this, like form is not very much appreciated, but it is essential also, because sometimes the one comes to the supreme out of the fear, and sometimes fear is essential, like essential driving force in the beginning, like Krishna saying in the 11th chapter, Kalo asmi, I am the Kal, I am the eternal time, I am the death personified in a way. So Srila Prabhupada was one time talking to some scholars and scientists. And then he was saying, unless and until one is completely insane, one will not say that there is no God. Because there is God, below average person can also understand there is some power, there is some higher power, and they understand some conception. And then Prabhupada says, in a very like moving his eyes in a very dramatic way, he said, and for those who don't believe in God, God comes as death. Prabhupada was, in a very dramatic way, Prabhupada was saying, God comes as death. So God comes as death for those who don't believe in Him. And then He will take away everything you have. Whatever we have amassed, whatever we have stored, He will take away everything. So this is also required for developing that fear or for the beginning stage. Prabhupada is explaining here the two main, like there are basically two or three permutation combination which generally happen with the universal form. One is that some impersonalists accept this universal form both as a sadhya and as a sadhan, in the sense they accept it as a process and also as the ultimate goal. this universal form of, which was being described in the, till the 33 number verse or 34 number verse, they accepted as both as a like process and as the goal. Some other impersonalists, okay, say we need to accept this in the beginning stage, but in the ultimate like the perfection stage, we need not accept this. But the pure devotees or devotees of the Lord, they don't accept it. They accept it neither in the beginning nor at the stage of perfection. For example, India is full of impersonalists. Especially India is, there are so many impersonalists in India, and some organized groups also proposing impersonalism or Mayavad like that. So some of them propose accept this universal form in the beginning. And they've come up like some concocted for like Panchopasana or anything like that. They come up like, of course, it's being mentioned in the, somewhere in the Vedas also, but they come up with these ideas. But for the pure devotees, especially, they don't accept it. They accept neither at the sadhya stage, nor at the sadhya stage. That is, they don't accept it as the way, nor they accept it as a goal. So they reject it in the both the cases. Because they take it as a material and like that. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we get a very, one devotee approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I am confused about what is the sadhya and what is the sadhan. I mean, what is the goal and how to obtain it. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recites a very beautiful verse. Bahu shastra bahu vakye chitte brahma hai. So Mahaprabhu says that when one reads so many shastra scriptures, or when one makes his point of reference, so many different scriptures or so many different point of contact, one makes his point of reference in the life. Or when one hears so many different statements of the shastras and which are apparently contradicting, then what happens? Chitte brahma hai. One really becomes confused. And then one actually gets out of the clear conception of what is sadhya and sadhan. So, and Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning of the ISKCON, he was especially careful to protect the devotees and the movement from the crocodile of the impersonalism. So, I'm saying the word crocodile, because this comes from the from his own statement, the way he glorifies Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in his Vyas Puja, absolutely sentient, thou has proved. Impersonalist calamity, thou has removed. So Srila Prabhupada was glorifying his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in one of the Vyas Puja offering, and he wrote this beautiful poetry, which was very much appreciated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who himself is in the mood of Rupanuga Virud Api Siddhant Dvanta Harine. Basically, one of the pranam mantra Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is he is very compassionate, kind at heart. But however, at the time of establishing the Siddhanta or the conclusion, Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gaurnitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. However, at the time of establishing Siddhanta, if there is anything Siddhanta or any scriptural conclusion which is opposed to the conclusion of the Rupa Goswami, he is like the Siddhanta Dvanta Harine. He is like the razor's edge at that point. It's like being said that great saints are like the Hansa or Paramhansa. That means they can actually distinguish between the milk and the water. But this is the pure cow milk. But the great saint, in a sense, has the capability of distinguishing milk from the water. It's like a Hansa. And similarly, the Rupa Goswamis and his followers, we see particularly, even Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that many of the people would approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with some poem or with some poetry or with any writing. So, because just like nowadays, every Tom, Dick and Harry can write, or every Tom, Dick and Harry can make a YouTube video and and says anything about the Siddhanta. So that time in the Bengal also there were many people who would write something and bring it to the Swarup Damodar or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I have written this thing. Kindly write some foreword or give some words of appreciation like that. So, but then Swarup Damodar's business particularly was to filter those requests. And he was particularly firm on the point that not such so-called devotional literature or poetry reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu didn't like philosophical deviations, Mahaprabhu didn't like rasabhas. And this rasabhas was especially technical. This rasabhas is like somebody may be glorifying, Krishna or Supreme Lord, let's say. But then there is some rasabhas there. So Swarup Damodar's business was like to filter those. And there's like a very beautiful pastime that one Bengali poet wrote something, and then how he was basically filtered by Swarup Damodar. And so following the same word, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also, Rupanoga Virudha Siddhantavan Tharine, like whatever is like opposed to the scriptural conclusion, he just filters it out. And same way Srila Prabhupada like exhibited the same mood, absolutely sentient, thou who has proved impersonalist calamity, thou who has removed. And then he was particularly cautious, like to protect the movement and protect devotees from this impersonalist calamity. And because this impersonalism doctrine is not something the people professing that, or this doctrine is not, it's not like something like, okay, the fire is there and the alarm bell goes and the alarm is there. So we understand, okay, there's somewhere fire and there's two like that. So it's not like that. If some impersonalists will come here and then it will, okay, we will get to know, okay, like he's saying impersonalism. We will have to let you, there can be someone with just like us. And even sometimes we can also become influenced by this philosophy, and we fail to understand the minute difference between the what person is saying. Just like Swarup Damodar, all the devotees were glorifying that Bengali poet. Wow, what a poem you have written. What a shloka you have written. What a writing. Wow. And everybody was glorifying. But Swarup Damodar Goswami was very firm, like fire. This is not this. So therefore we see sometimes Srila Prabhupada's different statements, which might seem contradictory, but which were actually to protect the devotees. For example, one letter we find Srila Prabhupada saying devotees to not too very much associate with the particular organization in the Gorakhpur, to particular devotees there. In one letter he is saying that, and it's a very famous organization in India. It's based in Gorakhpur, and there was a very famous saint. But Prabhupada said that you don't associate much with that, because there is still a tinge of impersonalism, or there is still a tinge of Mayavad there. So there might be very very famous books, but we have to be careful. Devotees especially have to be careful to protect the devotional creeper from this different conceptions and not become diverted. Because otherwise what happens, again, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bahu Shastra, Bahu Vakya Chitte Brahma Hai. Like we end up reading so many authors, different authors, and so many different books, philosophies, and then if we are not mature enough, then definitely we may fall into the illusion, and it creates the Brahm illusion of what is the sadhya and what is sadhan. And yeah, so these verses, Love Bhagavatam, they can be meddled by so many schools of thought, like Vivartavad, Impersonalism, Mayavad, Bahu Ishwarvad. There's a Bahu Ishwarvad, that there's so many Ishwar, like many gods. There's so many different vads, to which this all these shlokas can be the real meaning gets covered when it goes to that interpretation. Therefore Mahaprabhu was so firm, Mayavadi Bhasha Sunile Haile Sarvanash, that if one at all falls into the hears the Mayavadi Bhashya, then it goes sarvanash. Like if one hears the Mayavadi Bhashya, then one should go and take bath in the Ganges with the clothes. Of course, like that much firm he was, Mahaprabhu, on it. So, I mean, few days before, like we were in some program, and it was like, there were some like different people of different groups, and then they began playing on the harmonium. They were having very beautiful forms of the Krishna on the screen, and then he began playing on the harmonium some verse, and it was like something seeming like glorification of the universe or the form of the Lord and like that. And at the end, he ended up, Shivoham, Shivoham. So, I mean, it was like, it might seem like something like a very devotional concert, a very devotional musical concert, or very religious Hindu conference or Hindu convention. But like verses which they chant, which people chant, or with the, like, the conception which they have, it is impersonalism. It might seem devotional. They might have Krishna. They may have their own altar with Krishna, but the conception is like of the impersonalism. One famous leader of the India, he died speaking Gram. So that question also came to Srila Prabhupada, that he is the very famous leader in India. He actually helped so much in the freedom fighting. And he died speaking Gram. So has he gone back to Godhead? Prabhupada said that no, he didn't went, because we can see the activities which he was having in his lifetime, and he was like impersonalist. So naturally, when he chanted at the end, when he was being shot as Ram, so then he didn't went back to Godhead. So that's how minute it is. And especially when we see from the Srila Prabhupada's pastimes and Leela, like if there might be sometimes like, okay, there might be sometimes like a case of the money embezzlement, or like some disciples lost some money in some transactions, or some money embezzlement is there. Prabhupada would react. Prabhupada was strong on that, and he would like chastise the devotees there, but he won't chastise, but he would be like, okay, still like pacified. But if there was anything to do with Siddhanta, Prabhupada was really like fire. And the various very classical example Kripamaya Prabhu gave on the Saturday, on his Friday class, he said that there were four sannyasis who said to the devotees that, you know, Prabhupada is upset with us because you have failed to recognize Prabhupada. Okay, we have failed to recognize Prabhupada. Yes. So who is Prabhupada? Prabhupada is God. So they started preaching like that. Prabhupada is God. And then when Prabhupada came to know about this, that they are preaching like that, then Prabhupada said that you all just get out of this movement. I mean, in the sense, he practically banished those sannyasis, because it was like, again, like meddling with the Siddhanta which was there. That the spiritual master is like a servant God. He is not like the, he's a God. He's godly, but he's not the supreme God like Krishna. But he's different from the supreme God. So this minute like points in the philosophical deviations. Prabhupada was like fire when he would hear these things. So therefore, if we stick to the Prabhupada's purpose, Prabhupada books, and the mood of the Sampradaya Parampara, then there's a very beautiful verse which comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shri Chaitanyam Prabhu Mande Balopi Yat Anugrahat Tare Nana Mat Graha Vyaptam Siddhanta Sagaram. That by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a child can cross over the ocean, which is covered with the crocodiles of the different doctrines and philosophy. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, even a child, like Mukam Karoti Vachalam, one who is dumb, he can speak nice words, and even a child can cross over this ocean of material existence and attain the eternal service of the Lord. So therefore, we have to stick to the mercy of the Srila Prabhupada and this purpose, and then being loyal to this parampara, being loyal in that forms, then we can really understand what Bhagavatam is? Bhagavat Parobhya Bhagavat Bhagavatasthane. Swarup Damodar Goswami would say that one should understand Bhagavatam from the Bhagavat, and Srila Prabhupada is the devotee Bhagavat in front of us, with whom we can understand the book Bhagavat. So these were some of the thoughts, like how, like by the mercy of Prabhupada, like we can understand the Siddhanta, and how we need to be alert, like to protect our devotional creeper individually, collectively, and on the community level from these different calamity of impersonalism or crocodiles of different theories and philosophies. And so, because as I said, that any Tom, Dick, and Harry can write a book, and there is no censoring, especially we say in India. In India, like say, if one is sick, he will go to a doctor and he will check that doctor is okay, recognized or not. He is a good doctor or not. If one wants to go for a law case, he will go to a lawyer and he will check the lawyer's credentials. But when it comes to speaking about the God or the life philosophy, even a rickshawala or even a ferrywala speaks like as if he is like the greatest pundit. Anybody can speak on the God in India. So therefore we need to be alert, like, okay, from where we are hearing, from where we are reading, and like that. So these were some of the thoughts, like how pure devotees reject these two forms, like pantheism and monism, and with the testimony of Arjun, Prabhupada explained the purport, and then how we need to be careful regarding understanding this, so that our sadhya and sadhan doesn't become disturbed, and like that. And then we can attain the eternal service of the Lord. So pure devotees' worship of the Lord never stops, neither at the beginning stage nor at the perfection stage. That's it. So anybody has any question, comment, or like that, so they can ask. The time is 8:30, so we will have some short questions, and then we will go for the prasadam.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thanks for class, for the points. I was always wondering, in this case of to preserve Siddhanta properly, like in this case you mentioned some examples when this devotee wanted to present something to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was surrounded by very exalted devotees who understand philosophy, Siddhanta, everything. And then how is it possible that they also couldn't detect the fault in such a kind of presentations? Only Swarup Damodara could. So it's very interesting that these are not just mere sentimentalists. And then somehow or other they couldn't detect. Like only in one case, maybe, when this devotee wrote commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he was glorifying himself that he's better than Sridhar Swami. Then the devotee just didn't want to hear him at all. But there's only one instance. In many instances, devotees just couldn't detect. How is that possible? Like, there is no wonder that, for example, we are deceived by different philosophy deviation. So it is an interesting point how these close associates could also be deceived by deviation. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's interesting even more when we go to the Krishna Leela. Even in the time of Krishna, there were devotees like Pondrak, who were like imitating Krishna. So there always have, and there was Duryodhan, who, when Krishna tried to show the, when Krishna came as a peacemaker to his sabha, and then he was trying to arrest Krishna. So there are always people like that.
That's all right. These are all sentimentalists, and they don't know much. So it's easy to deceive them. In that case, like in many instances, but this particular, Lila's, Lord Chaitanya, his associates also couldn't detect deviation. So there's no wonder that so many sects sprout after Lord Chaitanya. Just even during his lifetime, devotees who were associated with him, they were deviating. So it's kind of very interesting. How is that possible? That they don't know, that they couldn't get it.
Many of them were detecting them, but most of them were not detecting them. And it goes like the same rule: Sa Kalena Mahata Yognashta Parantapa. So therefore, it's like preserving the Siddhanta and detecting the deviation is like a very, very minute difference. It goes like that. What is the Siddhanta and what is the Apsiddhanta? And I mean, being Apsiddhanta doesn't mean that they are like totally condemned, but it spoils the mood of one who is in the bona fide sampradaya or who is in the proper Siddhanta. For us, it spoils the mood of the devotional service. But for somebody else, it may be like their way. They are like more like in the working process, and they are not in the contact with the bona fide sampradaya. So for them, it's like okay. It may might be okay for them, but for us, it's not okay. And this is one understanding on this point. Another understanding is that there always have been people like that. Krishna himself said that I instructed this yoga to the sun god, and then it was being lost, and it happens lost again and again. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, then it was being lost. 13 Apsampradaya came. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others helped to like solidify Baldev Vidya Bhushan. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur worked so hard. But then there were again some challenges. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to come. Then again there were challenges. So these challenges will always be there. And for devotees to deal with these challenges is more like a loving service to the Lord. And for example, like before coming, Srila Prabhupada came, so much of the time Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to spend to find one bona fide edition of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was no bona fide edition of Chaitanya Charitamrita. All the editions of Chaitanya Charitamrita were more or less being like tampered upon by someone or other. So yeah, so this happened. This is the law of the nature, maybe we can say, this world like that. So therefore, we have to understand that we have to stick tightly to the feet of the acharyas with loyalty, and the basic rule goes in this way, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, those who want to be cheated, they will get some cheaters. People want to be cheated, so they will get some cheaters, like that. So that's these are some of the thoughts. Any other question or it's.
Hare Krishna.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask the question. You said that the difference sometimes between our philosophy and sometimes impersonalist philosophy can be a little subtle. The difference can be subtle. I guess if the difference can sometimes be subtle, I guess it's a two-part question. How can we tell the difference if it's subtle? But then also, practically, how can we weed out impersonalism in our lives?
How can we
weed it out, like get rid of impersonalism?
Yeah. So first thing is how to identify it, and if it's so subtle, and how to get rid of it. So many times, like, these differences requires expert devotees' guidance. So therefore, we need, at every stage of our spiritual life, we need some living personalities, some living gurus around us. So the idea that, like, we don't need a living guru goes basically against the basic tenet of the philosophy. So we always need a living guru who can pull our ear. Yeah. So we always need some living guru who can sometimes pull our ear, or in more good sense, to whom we can go and we can ask and we can clarify these things. Just like when it is being said that the devotional creeper grows, and then there is like the weeds also grows. So sometimes weeds are so, I mean, like to say, complex, that they look exactly like the devotional creeper. And it is very difficult to identify what is weed and what is devotional creeper. So similarly, like this Tattva Vibhram is one of the like the weed being said on the path of the devotional service by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Tattva Vibhram. Or Sambandh Gyan is not clear, that is Tattva Vibhram. So yeah. So therefore we need the expert devotees around us, spiritual masters, great saints around us, and we need to read the bona fide books in that way, which will help us in that understanding. I think Shivaram Maharaj has like compiled also like one of the understanding that at which stage of devotional service one should read what. For example, if one is at a very beginning stage and one tried to understand lots of esoteric books, so then he might misunderstand them. And similarly, like, see, one time we were talking to some devotee, very, very, I mean, senior devotee, and he was saying that as we have all these scriptures, similarly impersonalists have their own, or the Mayavadis have their own bunch of scriptures. So therefore, if we are not mature enough, we basically need not meddle, we need not interfere with them. We need not have a debate with them. Basically, we should save our time, just like even it's being said. The Madhyam Adhikari loves the Supreme Lord, friends the devotees, and is merciful to the innocent, but ignores the envious. So the ignoring the envious is also giving mercy to them, because it saves time, and it is being said that Madhyam Adhikari should be that much mature. So then, if we are not that mature, then we should not enter into the discussions with the impersonalists or Mayavadis also, because they can give you their point of reference, their scriptures reference, and then that way it's not very much helpful for our devotional service. So this is how we can identify and we can get rid of them like that. Thank you, Prabhu.
Krishna, thank you for a nice class.
Thank you.
I just as you're saying, can you just elaborate the difference between the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat and the importance of their relationship?
So book Bhagavat...
In relation to the point of removing misconceptions.
Yeah. So thank you for that question, Prabhu. Thank you. So the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat, this is being said in the Bhagavatam itself, that one should take shelter of the Bhagavatam. And there the beautiful verse, Kamnashta Prayashu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavate Ruttam Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Neshtaki. There in the purport Prabhupada explains the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. So book Bhagavat is this Bhagavat. And this Bhagavat, basically Bhagavat means anything which is for the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And so there are different Bhagavatas in the on the different planets. But on the earth we have this Bhagavatam, which contains 18,000 verses. In the Devalokas, in the lokas of the demigods, there are different Bhagavatams. But the basic, in simple words, Bhagavatam means the glorification of the Supreme Lord and His devotees. And so this is the book Bhagavat. We should take shelter of the book Bhagavat with the help of a devotee Bhagavat, because devotee Bhagavat is the Bhagavatam in practice. He's like the living example of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, Sarup Damodar gave this principle that Bhagavat Padodgya Bhagavat Sthane. That if one wants to understand Bhagavatam, one should understand from a Bhagavatam. That is a devotee whose life is Bhagavatam, who is practically living these teachings. And that for us, primarily that person is the Acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada. And then we have our spiritual masters also, from whose life we can understand. However, while understanding the devotee Bhagavat or learning through him, we should try to learn philosophical tenets from him, mainly through his life example, that how he's applying this example. For example, we see the examples of the symptoms of those who are at the Bhava Bhakti. There are 8 symptoms. And we can see that many of the spiritual masters are actually exhibiting those 8 symptoms. They might not be demonstrating it in the form of an external show, or crying loudly, or doing some showing some ecstatic emotions. But there are the 8 symptoms of one who is on the Bhava level. And that we can see that there are so many exalted devotees around us who are actually on that level. And the word of caution which goes with that, being with a devotee Bhagavat, is that one should not be that much close to the devotee Bhagavat that one ends up committing offenses, because familiarity breeds contempt. And one should not be that much far that one is losing the mercy. So yes, and this is the way we can understand Bhagavat, and this is the way to elaborate the devotee Bhagavat and book Bhagavat relationship. For example, many of the devotees were near Srila Prabhupada, they were very close to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would say that being near doesn't mean only physical proximity, but it is like the both Vani Seva and Vapu Seva. Prabhupada would give an example that a king is also sitting on a throne and a fly is also sitting on a throne. But the king is doing his duty and fly is simply disturbing him. or sucking, or maybe like sucking blood, or some fly can suck up blood like, or some animal like that. Yeah, like mosquito. Mosquito can suck up blood. So we need to understand Bhagavatam from the in conclusion, like from the devotee Bhagavat, and there is some word of caution also regarding like how close we should be and like that how we associate with them. Thank you. Does it help? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Thank you very much for your kind attention. The time is 8:42, so like we can proceed for the prasadam. Please forgive for any offense, like if I said anything wrong. And if there's anything good, then that comes from the, like the source, Parampara Srila Prabhupada. Please take that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.